You are listening to the Financial Clarity for Doctors podcast by Finity Group, LLC, where we discuss the pertinent financial planning topics facing physicians and other medical professionals. Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. And now, here are your hosts, Rochelle VanderZanden and Corey Janoff.
Welcome back to Financial Clarity for Doctors, everyone. This is Rochelle VanderZanden here with Corey Janoff.
Hey.
And we're going to talk about some insurance today. I know it's like eating your vegetables was in the 80s and 90s, which I like to think was bland but important. At least that's gotten better. But many people kind of avoid insurance. They avoid talking about it in general because sometimes it has an unsavory reputation, honestly. Like, a lot of people think of insurance as something that's kind of a scam. But in answer to the question in the title of this episode, is insurance a scam? I don't really think so. You know, I think that it can potentially be a waste of money, but it has a purpose. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today and just kind of dive into the details. I think that it can be useful in some situations and unnecessary in others is kind of the bottom line. But we'll go through some specific lines of insurance and things like that and talk about where they can be useful.
So in some cases, you could argue it is a scam when it's not useful or necessary.
Yeah, I guess. I think that, I don't know, maybe there's like a time and a place for everything or most things, but maybe not everything.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, but we'll go through some of the ones that are a little more scammy, to be sure.
Yeah, we'll cover the ones that you probably need or should consider in certain scenarios and others that you could likely forego in almost all scenarios. But where do we want to start? What is insurance?
Yeah, I think first of all, I think it's helpful to understand the basics of insurance. And most people have a somewhat intuitive understanding of this, but don't necessarily break it down into thinking about it and kind of its logical pieces. But basically what insurance is that you are paying someone else or something else, an entity, an institution, whatever it is, and you're transferring some risk that you have onto their shoulders. So if I don't want to be solely responsible for this risk in my life, whatever that risk is, if I want someone else to have some sort of financial responsibility for that risk as well, I can pay them and they can take some of that on. And if enough people are willing to do that, we kind of have this little pool that we're all paying into, and the insurance company has some money that they can tap into to pay out claims if that risk does happen. But they also keep a little bit for profit, you know, like, an insurance company is not designed as a nonprofit. They are designed to make money. So they are charging you a little bit more than they basically intend to pay out. So if that specific risk happens, and we'll talk through some examples here because I think when you say risk, it's a little like, what are you talking about? But anyway, but if that thing happens, basically they share the cost with like a pre-approved structure. So you may not have the entire risk covered. It really depends on how you've structured that insurance. But per whatever the contract is, they help you shoulder that burden. If it doesn't happen, they still get to keep your money. And they use some of that money to help pay other people claims. They get to keep some of that money. That's how it works. And the only way it works is if the insurance company can collect more in premiums than they have to pay out on claims, or else the whole system falls apart. You know, like the insurance company fails. They have failed to price their products correctly if they owe more money than they have collected. And that doesn't, you know, if that happens in one set period of time, that might be fine. But over the long term, that is not a sustainable business model, if that makes sense.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Insurance, in a perfect ideal world, insurance is a giant waste of money for you because the bad things don't happen and therefore you don't collect on your insurance policies. And for the insurance company, in a perfect world, that's also what happens, you know, that you don't have the bad thing happen to you, so they don't have to pay you a claim. They know that law of large numbers, you know, if enough people participate, that some bad things will happen to some of them, and they will have to pay a select few a claim, but hopefully the math works in the insurance company's favor to where the amount they have to pay out of course, is less than what they receive. Otherwise, yeah, it's a very simple business model. If they're paying more than they're collecting, they eventually run out of money and go out of business, and then no one is covered. So,
yeah, there are some protections for things like that, though. So, you know, if an insurance company kind of fails, like there's some insurances for insurances, or, you know, other insurance companies end up buying those policies. So now they're the owner of those policies. And that has happened a few times where, you know, an insurance company has kind of just collapsed, but someone else absorbs that business. So I wouldn't be too worried about that in your personal financial plan. Like, what if I buy this life insurance company and I pay all this money every month and then that company goes under? First of all, you know, you do want to make sure that that insurance company that you're purchasing a policy from is fairly solid. But even if something does happen, chances are there's someone else there to pick up the pieces.
For sure.
Yeah.
Now, which insurances should we consider? Basically, is this a big enough risk to your financial world that you need help covering it, or could you self-insure for it? So a good little thought exercise is, if this thing happens, what would happen to you or us financially? You know, if this event happens, could it ruin me financially? If the answer is yes, we should probably buy the insurance to protect against that event. If the answer is no, it won't ruin me financially. It'll be annoying. It'll cost me money, but it's not going to ruin us. Then yeah, we don't need the insurance. So perfect example. This just happened to me yesterday. My 4-year-old was getting frustrated with the TV remote because it wasn't going to the show that he wanted. So we threw the TV remote at the TV. And you know what happens when you throw a hard object at a LCD screen? It cracks. So now there's like a spider web in the TV with rainbow lines going up and down from top to bottom. And the TV still works. And my thought is, hey, they can just watch it like this with the
this is your punishment for breaking the TV.
Yeah, I can't put you to work for financial gain to pay for a new TV. You're 4. No one's going to hire you legally. You'd have to go through enough birthdays. It'll take years to replace it. So I want to just keep it. I think we'll probably eventually get another TV because it's unfair to the 4-year-old's older brother.
And to you and to Lindsay.
Well, it's the upstairs one. So it's gotcha. Like the kids' room TV. So we still have our downstairs living room TV functioning, but still frustrating. But yeah.
But bottom line, everyone is fine. You're not going under. It's okay.
No, I have to buy a new TV. I'll get like the cheap Vizio or whatever. I think Walmart just bought Vizio, so they're not at Costco anymore. But I'll get whatever they have at Costco for, you know, under $1,000. There's plenty of TVs out there that you could get, you know, $500-$700 for a 65-inch flat screen. TVs are so cheap now. But annoying, but yeah. Didn't buy the extended warranty on the TV. It's probably past, I think the TV's like 5 years old anyways, so we're probably past whatever warranty period would have had anyways. But yeah, that's the point. You know, even if it's a brand new TV, you don't have to buy the extended protection plan, because if the TV breaks, darn it, you can buy a new one. Maybe if you have my children, the warranty would pay for itself because they're destructive. But
5 years, like even in your case, that wasn't the case.
True. Yeah. No, you're spot on. I mean, you add it up, the warranty, it probably ends up costing as much as the TV. So yeah, I mean, we could go through endless examples. You miss a flight, darn it, you can buy a new plane ticket. You'll still be fine. You get sick the day before that Taylor Swift concert that you spent thousands of dollars on tickets. Sunk cost, you already spent the money. Maybe you can sell the tickets, but not as much for as you paid for possibly, but life's not over. You know, if you get seriously ill though, have a major medical expense, could you cover that out of pocket? Maybe, maybe not. You know, it might put a big dent in your finances. So hopefully you have health insurance. I think pretty much everyone listening probably has health insurance. It might still have a decent out-of-pocket cost because you got to pay your deductible and co-insurance. And depending on the timing, you know, if it's at the end of the year and then it things carry over into the new year, your deductible resets and you got to start over. But it'd be much worse if you didn't have the insurance. And, you know, if you're not around anymore, how would that impact your dependents, spouse, children, parents that might depend on you? How would it impact others financially? So it's, yeah, some things like the TV are replaceable. Other things would be difficult to replace and still be financially okay.
Absolutely. Yep. So we're going to focus in a little bit on, I don't know, I call them the big four, but like four big insurance lines that are important for most people, if not all people. And these are the ones that if this risk did happen, it would be really hard to just kind of make it work financially, especially if some bigger things happen. So the first one that we're going to talk about is just liability protection. If you get sued for a large sum of money, how will you pay for it? If you have insurance, that is a simpler question than if you do not have insurance. And for all of you listening, everyone knows kind of what malpractice coverage is. For anyone that's a medical professional, this is a really big deal. That's your liability insurance at work. It protects you. It protects the institution that you're working for. There are limits to it, but it's like just downright, we have to have it. Like you don't skip malpractice coverage because practicing medicine can be really, really challenging from a litigation standpoint if something goes wrong. So we want to make sure that you have that in place. That one's pretty straightforward. The other one that people don't think about as frequently is liability protection for your personal life. And that's the liability protection that's on your auto insurance. It's the liability protection that goes with your homeownership, so on your homeowner's insurance. And it's also additional liability protection outside of those lines of coverage. So with your auto insurance, with your homeowner's insurance, you usually have like a basic amount and you can only buy up to a certain dollar amount of coverage and then it just kind of caps and they're like, that's the most you can have. With auto insurance, it's often like $250,000 maximum per person in a serious accident and $500,000 per accident. And if you are in a very serious car accident, it is nowhere outside the realm of possibility that a claim would be significantly more than that. Like if you hit someone and if it's your fault and they can't work anymore, you know, or something like that, and you know, they earn a good income, that is a huge potential liability claim. So a lot of times when we're talking to clients, we talk about layering in some additional liability protection, which is called umbrella liability. And it's actually just personal liability protection that you layer on top of your auto and homeowner's insurance. They sell it in chunks of like $1 million. And it tends to be fairly inexpensive, but it just allows you to have some extra coverage and some coverage that protects you outside of just like your house and your car. You know, so if something happens, you're like riding your bike and you hit someone or something like that umbrella would come into play there.
Your dog bites someone.
Yeah. Not at your house. I don't know.
You're on a walk in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's lots of different scenarios. Like we solve a lot of problems in this country by suing people. Like that's, it's true, Corey.
It's very true. It's, yeah, very.
Corey's laughing at me, but that is in reality how we have decided as a society that we're going to structure some things. Like, oh, something happens? Well, that person's going to be responsible and the lawyers are going to help us figure out how responsible they are and what dollar amount to assign to that. You know, and there's like this whole process. And liability insurance also helps you cover a lot of those legal costs. Like that's part of what the liability insurance does. And that can be very costly as well. So incredibly important, I think, for most people, especially high income earners who have more money to like come after in a personal liability lawsuit or even in a malpractice suit.
Yeah, I'll tell people on their home and auto policies, just get the maximum liability. Yes. You can maximize your uninsured motorist liability too. So if you're on the receiving end of an accident and the person who hits you doesn't have insurance or just doesn't have much, you can hopefully be compensated to some degree through your own policy. Usually up to $1 million is what you can get there, 500K to $1 million. And then that umbrella, hopefully, again, it's a giant waste of money. Like all insurances, we want them to be a waste of money, but it's so inexpensive. Like you could get $5 million of umbrella coverage for under $1,000 per year. And then hopefully that would deter attorneys from going after you personally beyond what the insurance coverage provides. So it's a good, relatively inexpensive form of asset protection to get through your home and auto company.
Yeah, I have noticed that liability coverage can vary in cost a bit from state to state. So I've had a few clients in California look for it, and you know, they were quoted like $45 a month for $1 million of coverage, which is substantially more, probably because in California, the laws regarding liability are a little bit different. So, you know, definitely worth getting a quote, getting at least a million or two of coverage. And then, you know, depending on your situation, like the amount of assets you have and all that kind of stuff, it can make sense to get a good chunk more than that even.
See, health insurance.
Yeah.
Probably don't need to go in too much detail here. Everyone knows the importance of that one, especially in your professions. But if you have a major medical expense, either a one-off procedure or something that's going to be requiring ongoing treatment and care, how are you going to pay for it? Insurance is probably the answer for most of you, because it'd be pretty costly without the insurance. And you can play around with some of the features of the insurance. Like if you have a healthy amount in savings, maybe we go with that higher deductible health insurance plan, which will bring our premium cost down. And then maybe, you know, we could fund an HSA as a supplement to use if we need to pull some money out of pocket in a tax-efficient manner from the HSA to pay for out-of-pocket health cares. But if we don't have a lot in savings, maybe we go with that lower deductible plan, or if our employer is paying for it, maybe we get the fancier plan. So have health insurance. Make sure you're the providers that you typically go to are covered in network for your plan. Health insurance is America. In America is a confusing spider web of contracts and arrangements, and you don't always get to see who you want to see depending on the insurance company. So that can be make it a trickier. But I think the biggest thing is just that you have it and it covers the things that you hopefully want it to cover.
Absolutely. Disability insurance is huge. And I think this is one that we should probably argue with people about more, honestly. It's kind of expensive. So I think people get that sticker shock and they're like, oh, is this really worth it? But if you ask yourself that same question, the question is really, if this happens, how am I financially? If your income goes away, would that cause you any problems? Or would that cause you significant financial problems? And I think with most people, unless you're like approaching retirement age, that answer is absolutely yes. That is a big, big deal. And a lot of people do have some coverage through work, but it's usually not enough coverage to cover all of your income. And a lot of times it's not a great policy. So that's something to pay attention to. Like, is this actually going to pay me a claim if I can't practice, like do my job? If I can't practice medicine the way that I'm playing now or way that I'm practicing now, am I going to be able to get insurance claim money from my group policy? And maybe you will be for a little while, but probably not long term. So I think that's a huge thing to look at. Just how much income do you need to replace to pay your bills and like live life and maybe even continue savings towards retirement? Because most disability insurance policies will only pay you to retirement age. So you still need to have some money for end of life, like for retirement age and all of those kinds of things. Disability insurance is a little bit more of a struggle because it requires some medical underwriting. So you have to have a baseline level usually of health and things like that in order to be able to get it. And that will affect like your application process. Sometimes you have plans called guaranteed standard issue plans available to you through a training institution, like if you are a resident or a fellow. And if you have any sort of medical issues or like medical background, risk factors, things like that is absolutely something to just do a little research on and figure out if you have that available to you, because you can get like a cleaner policy without doing medical underwriting. And then, you know, you have that policy moving forward into your attending career. So it's complicated. Like disability insurance is a fairly complicated product with a lot of different features and things like that. There's several different companies that do it. So I think it makes sense to do a lot of research on disability insurance and make sure you're getting the best policy for yourself. But for almost everyone that's kind of entering practice as a medical professional, it makes sense to have some coverage.
Even if you're halfway into your career, it makes sense, unless you're financially independent. Mm-hmm. I mean, income is by far your most valuable asset, your ability to earn an income over the course of your career. We're talking for most of you, if you factor in inflation, you're going to earn upwards of $10 million during your career. And if that's a lot of money, and you're going to need it to pay bills, pay the mortgage, you know, put the kids through school, go on vacations, put food on the table, save for retirement so you can stop working one day. So if that income goes away before you're ready for it to go away or gets reduced because you can't work at full capacity anymore for whatever reason, for most of you, that will cause some financial problems. So can't stress it enough. Get a good specialty specific own occupation disability policy that says if you can't do your job, you're getting paid, and make sure you have enough. Increase it as your income rises over time until you get to that point where you've saved up a lot of money to where you don't really need to protect additional income moving forward. You can kind of coast and eventually get rid of the coverage altogether. But
yeah,
we've had a handful of clients go on disability claims over the years. Like, I think I've told the story before about my dad who was a vascular surgeon. He had a condition where he would get numbness in his hands and couldn't operate for about a year. Luckily was able to get that resolved, but fortunately he had a good disability policy that was paying him a claim during that time. Otherwise probably would have been some changes in my family growing up. Definitely would have been some changes if it was a persistent issue that forced him out of surgery altogether. Seen it happen before. Hopefully it doesn't happen to you, but it could. And if it does, it'd be problematic most likely. So get disability insurance if you don't have it. Review your coverage periodically to make sure it's adequate in line with your income and what you need. So
yeah, I do think one clarifying point is that there's two different liability insurances, kind of. There's like short-term disability and long-term disability. Short-term just covers you if you're out for like a few weeks or a few months. Long-term is like, you know, 3 to 6 months or longer you're out of work and you're unable to work. Long-term disability is the one that is very, very important. Short-term, probably not that big of a deal, but if you're planning to like go on maternity leave or something like that, cash in on it, like sign up for it, make it happen. But generally, like long-term disability is that one that we put like really high on the priority list.
Yeah, if you break your wrist and you can't work for 6 weeks because you're in a cast, life's not over. Hopefully you have a little bit in savings, we'll survive. But if you can't work for a couple years or the rest of your career, that's going to cause some problems.
Absolutely.
So
the next
life insurance.
Yeah, that's the fourth one on the list in terms of like the big four. You know, if you or your partner pass away, the question is like, would that cause problems for either one of you or for any dependents if you have them? And I think for a lot of people, the answer is yes. I think that when you don't have dependents, the answer may be no, or if you're not in a long-term relationship. But, you know, if you have commingled expenses with a partner, if you're sharing a mortgage, anything like that can create a pretty big financial burden for the person that's left behind. If you do have kids and you're kind of relying on two incomes to make this whole situation work, that is a huge deal. If you just have your income sized hole in this financial plan. And obviously this is aside from, you know, all of the other emotional burdens and things like that. But if we can plan for the financial burden and the financial impact that, like, you know, premature passing can have, then that can make things, at least there's one thing, you know, that the people you left behind don't have to worry about. Like that is the key here. So really the question with life insurance is like, how much do you need to provide for your family until the kids are kind of out of the house and self-sufficient and doing well on their own? And your partner doesn't need to make drastic lifestyle changes. So a lot of times people need coverage while they're in that kind of asset building part of their career. You know, like, we're still building up our wealth. We're still putting kids through college if that's the case. You know, there's all these things that are happening. And then it could be at some point you don't need life insurance anymore. You know, like, you have other money to leave behind. You don't have dependents anymore. So this life insurance, your need changes over time. But when you're fairly young, if you're in like a codependent financial relationship and you have young people, especially, it is a very important part of planning.
Agree. And you can start doing the math yourself to some degree. just start adding up. What are our expenses? What are our living costs? If we have kids, what do these kids cost us? You know, food, clothes, activities. If one of us is gone, what's that additional childcare expense going to look like? Maybe we want to scale back at work a little bit. Like if Lindsay dies and I'm now a single parent, I might want to work a little less to spend more time with the kids, you know, while they're still young. So even if it's a stay-at-home spouse, there's a pretty significant financial impact of a loss there. And then, you know, get the kids out of the house through college, whatever. Hopefully they can support themselves once they're adults. But even after that point, all right, we don't have the kids to worry about anymore. That need is hopefully considerably less. But unless we've saved up enough to be in a position to retire, there probably still is a little bit of a need there until you get to that point of financial independence to where you no longer need to accumulate any more assets. You know, I have a client who lost her husband a couple of years ago. They were getting close to retirement, late 50s, early 60s, but not quite financially independent yet. And fortunately, he had adequate life insurance, so she was able to pay off the mortgage and be able to retire when she originally planned to in her early 60s, and feel confident in her financial circumstances. So even when you're getting close to that retirement point, having some life insurance could still be beneficial in case one of you unexpectedly kicks the bucket. Having that influx of cash to get you to the finish line could be really powerful. So,
yep.
Life insurance, like disability, also requires medical underwriting. You got to be somewhat healthy to get it, and the cost is based on your age and your health. So, the younger you are, the healthier you are. Get it sooner.
Yeah.
So those are the big four.
Right.
I guess we kind of have a little bonus one here.
I think there's a couple of bonus ones for, like, you know, when you're older and things like that. So long-term care insurance can be a big deal. That's something just to consider as you're aging. It's just basically providing coverage if you can't perform, like, activities of daily living, you know, as you get older and things like that, and you need a little additional medical support, or you need to be, you know, in a care facility or something like that. Those ones are a little tricky. They're, like, very different from product to product in terms of, like, how much they will actually cover and provide. So just make sure you're doing your research a lot on those if and when you kind of consider those. And then another one is annuities, you know, so annuities have a bad rap. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, this is insurance that people don't need to pay for, but they pay for anyway. But for people who are very concerned about running out of money in retirement, it's a way to, like, take, you know, maybe a chunk of your retirement money and put it into an income stream, so you know that you have at least some money coming in on a regular basis that you don't have to worry about kind of running out. So it can be a good way just to make sure that there's at least some income, even late in retirement, when maybe some of your other resources are dwindling.
Annuity is basically longevity insurance. If you live longer than you originally planned to, money will still keep coming in, even if you've spent all of your other assets down. You'll still get a little bit of money to cover some of those living expenses. Or it could be a lot, depending on what the annuity is, how much you put into it, how much you're getting. And then on the long-term care one, that one's going to be interesting over the next decade, because more and more states are considering mandating long-term care. Washington, a couple years back, implemented a mandatory long-term care program where you either had to show proof that you owned a private long-term care policy that met certain requirements and had certain features. Otherwise, you were subject to an uncapped payroll tax through the state that funds a state-provided long-term care. And there's a number of other states that have proposed legislation in place to provide or require something similar. Because that one's a big one. People are living longer. They are less likely to live with children and more likely to be put in a facility. And there's more demand than supply for facilities. I would say significantly more demand for workers in those facilities than there is supply. Like, there's a massive shortage of long-term care providers, you know, nurses, et cetera, to help those people in need. So it's going to be interesting as baby boomers continue to age and live and eventually need that care, and how it's going to be provided and paid for is a big question mark. So,
yeah.
And then planning for, you know, our generation when we eventually need that care in the future is what the mandatory long-term care stuff would probably come into play.
Yeah. So we'll see how it all evolves over time. It's hard. Yeah. I think that's a big question mark. When we're thinking about, is insurance a scam? I think some of the things to look out for are like the upsells. So this is where you want to avoid things a little bit. It may not be a scam itself, but there's lots of places to try to sell you either coverage you don't need or coverage with unnecessary added bells and whistles. Like, oh, but you could get this extra special policy with this thing on it. It's going to be so much better. So
if you've ever bought a car and they're going to finance it.
Yeah, you drive it off the lot and they're like, you can buy this gap insurance for $1,000 just in case, you know, like you wreck your car and it, like the insurance company's not going to give you what you paid for it. It's like, that's so true. It is very true. But if you drive your lot and then it, you know, you basically lose $5,000, again, that's not the end of your financial plan. It's okay. So there's lots of different things like that.
Let's see. Avoid the upsell, the extra, you know, protection insurance on the car, the rental car specifically. Odds are that that risk is covered by your own car insurance, or the credit card that you pay with often has rental car protection. Disability insurance. That's one where obviously it's important, but there might be certain components or features that are unnecessary depending on your circumstances. Like if you're getting closer to retirement, you might be able to get rid of the inflation rider on your policy, or maybe the increase option on that policy if you're pretty darn close to financial independence. You could, if you have enough in savings, you could do a shorter waiting period. You don't necessarily need you could do a longer waiting period. You don't necessarily need the 90-day waiting period if you can handle 6 months of living expenses on your own. And then benefit period too. Like, do we really need a benefit that goes out to age 70, or could we be good with one that ends at 65? So everyone's circumstances are a little bit different there. So it's really case by case.
With life insurance, there can also be some potential upsells, I guess you could say. So there are two different main types of life insurance. One is called term life insurance that you only have for like a specific period of time. Let's use the example of 20 years. And then after that, it expires and you don't have it anymore. But it's actually a pretty good solution for when you have a need to provide insurance while you're building assets, while your kids are young. And then after that time, you may not need insurance anymore. The other main type is permanent life insurance, and there are a lot of folks out there that sell permanent life insurance, which is substantially more expensive, as, you know, a basic protection need, when really that is probably not what you need. And it's not that permanent life insurance has no place in a financial plan. It can be a great solution for some problems, so I don't want people to walk away from this thinking, like, always avoid permanent life insurance. But it is most likely going to make sense to look at term life insurance first, because it is so much less expensive, to see if that solves the basic financial need that you have. And then maybe use permanent life insurance if you have some other things that are maybe a little bit more complicated problems, or maybe some longer term like financial planning problems that permanent life insurance could solve. But again, I think that's one place where maybe insurance companies, insurance sales gets a bad reputation, because I think permanent life insurance is kind of over recommended and oversold and is very expensive.
Yeah. And insurance only agents that only sell life insurance, they tend to push the benefits of permanent life insurance on more people than they probably should be, because it's, again, not appropriate for everyone. But it could make sense in certain scenarios. You know, there's a reason it exists. It is beneficial if it's used correctly and under the right circumstances. So let's wrap up here. Insurance, it always feels like a waste of money when you're not using it or needing it, if you're young and healthy. And it's like, oh, why am I paying so much money for all these policies? but you will be very thankful you have it if a costly adverse scenario impacts you. I've had a number of clients who've had close calls reach out to me and be like, thank you for encouraging me to get this, because I now see the benefit of it, having, you know, my life flash before my eyes. And I've had, you know, a number of clients actually utilize their insurance, with whether it be a disability or death scenario, and the car insurance, the malpractice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had a number of clients named in lawsuits from malpractice or car insurance, and having or accidents, not insurance, but having that insurance in place has been very beneficial for them. Don't let your distaste for insurance lead you to, you know, having that open hole in your financial plan. For a lot of people, that is the biggest risk. They don't have proper insurance, and a catastrophe could potentially really, really hurt them when it could be offloaded to an insurance company. So yes, they can be expensive, particularly disability insurance and health insurance. Fortunately, but for a lot of you, health insurance is covered by your employers, or subsidized at least. But the alternative is not having that protection in place at all, and you being financially exposed, and you and your family shouldering the full cost of whatever that scenario is. So yeah, rolling the dice might turn out fine. Statistically, it will turn out fine. Like, statistically, you will not get disabled in your working career. You will not die prematurely. You hopefully won't get sued for millions of dollars as a result of a car accident. But if it does happen, that's why the insurance is there. So what if it does happen? It is a real possibility. And if it does happen to you, it could be detrimental. So get those appropriate insurances in place. And remember, ask yourself, if this event happens, could it ruin you financially?
Yeah. I think everyone kind of, not maybe not everyone, but most people think that they're somewhat invincible until they're not. And I think that's probably the scariest thing, is like, when you're young and healthy, it's hard to imagine not being young and healthy. But it happens. I think disability insurance, more people file claims than you'd expect. It's like 1 in 4 people will have some sort of long disability insurance claim. Like, if you're a young person, between now and when you retire, there's like a 1 in 4 chance that you will have some kind of long-term disability claim. And that doesn't mean you can't work forever. It just means, you know, you're out of work for 6 to 12 months or more. And so that scenario happens more frequently than people think. But again, you don't want to pay more for insurance than you feel like you, or than you really need. So avoid all of the unnecessary ones. Like, that's where you save money. It's just not paying for rental car extra protection if you don't need it, not paying for trip protection, not paying for insurances on your concert tickets and your jewelry and your TV and all of cell phone, like all the different things that you could potentially buy insurances for. Like, there are lots of things that you can skip and like save yourself some money.
Yeah, anytime you buy anything electronic from Target, they ask you if you want insurance on it. Like, I once bought a $10 calculator for my child because I wanted my child to play with his own calculator instead of stealing mine to play with. And when I go to pay for it at the checkout register, the guy's like, would you like the extended warranty on the calculator? I'm like,
what?
Oh, you're serious. You're saying this to me with a serious face. It's a $10 calculator. I didn't ask what the cost is. I'd be curious, like...
Yeah. Amazon's the same way. You put anything electronic in your basket at Amazon, you check out, they're like, oh, are you sure you want to skip this? If so, all of that risk is on you. I'm like, I think I can handle replacing my $50 shredder if I need to.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. It's a fun one. But I guess, you know, for a lot of people, it might be a big expense for them to buy a $50 shredder. And if it breaks, but that's it just ends up costing them even more money and sending them further back from their financial goals. So
absolutely.
Anyways, for all of you listening, you don't need the insurance on your calculator or your air fryer or your shredder or insert item here.
Yes. Thank you for listening. If you ever have questions, you know where to find us. We appreciate everyone listening.
Have a good one.
We would love to hear your feedback and suggestions for future topics you'd like us to cover. You can get in touch with the show by emailing podcast@thefinitygroup.com or by following Finity Group on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Finity Group LLC.
You can follow me on Twitter at Corey Janoff CFP, Instagram at Corey Janoff, or on LinkedIn under my name, Corey Janoff.
You can follow me on Twitter at Rochelle Finance, or on Instagram, Vanderzanden Rochelle, or on LinkedIn under my name, Rochelle Vanderzanden.
Check out all of the podcast episodes on thefinitygroup.com/podcast, on our Finity Group YouTube channel, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to check out our Financial Clarity blog at thefinitygroup.com/blog.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Financial Clarity for Doctors by Finity Group, LLC.